Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at our Wisconsin wetlands today, I'm Larry Mueller. My guest today, Katie Belfus, who is the Outreach Programs Director for the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. She's been with us many times, so we'll talk with her today about wetlands that are kind of fun to visit. You may have questions. Maybe you have a wetland on your property. Maybe you have a question about that. Give a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Somebody said, why don't you ever spell your name? Well, Mueller is spelled M-E-I-L-L-E-R. So that's how my last name is spelled. And Katie Belfus, thank you.
Thank you very much. As someone who always has to spell her name, I feel for you.
Yes. And your name is spelled B-E-I-L.
That's right. Belfus, if you were in Germany, but just Belfus is fine.
Belfus is fine. Well, tell you what, the Wisconsin Wetlands Association is fine, too. And talk about that a little bit as we get started here. What the organization is about. Give us an overview of where you're at.
Sure. We're approaching our 50th anniversary, which is very exciting. It's years out yet, but we were founded in 1969. And it was a volunteer-based organization for many years, mostly working to prevent or minimize the damage from transportation projects as roads and bridges and things went in to try to make sure that they went in where they were really needed and that when mm-hmm. they went in, there were protections for the wetlands that they might have affected. And we've grown over the years, and we do a lot of great work all around the state of Wisconsin, whether it's working with local governments to help them care for their wetlands, working with private landowners, just reaching out to the general public to answer questions about wetlands and how they can care for them.
And you have, obviously, social media these days. You've got a website and everything, and we have a link on our Facebook page, but why don't you go ahead and...
Yeah, our website is wisconsinwetlands.org, and we are on Facebook and Twitter, so we look forward to seeing you there. We're a membership-based organization, so we love to have members from all across the state. We welcome you to join us.
And you involve a lot of volunteers, I think, in your work, don't you?
We do involve volunteers, although because we're not a land-based organization, we don't own or manage any land. Mm-hmm. The volunteers that we use are for, you know, our board of directors and our science conference and our events that we run. Yeah. And so we draw on our membership for all of those things, and that's wonderful. And then we also like to connect folks who are interested in on-the-ground restoration with our many partners that we work with throughout the state. And so if folks are looking for a wetland to volunteer in their community and need a little help, we'd be happy to give that guidance.
Katie Belfus, our guest, if you have a question or a comment, give a call at 1-800-642-1234. Love to hear from you. Victor in West Allis up here with a comment. Victor, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Always enjoy your program. Hey, my wife and I have been always volunteering for quite a few years in filming the wetlands of Wisconsin, Horicon Marsh, Bruno Marsh, Upper and Lower, Frog Valley, and other places. And the reason is we're trying to advocate people to do what we do, create a website. We have between 25 and 40 countries, and depending on what we put up of interest, we can get up as much as 40,000 hits on an average month. And we notice like England, Germany, the Mideast, the EU, and China especially are really fascinated on the website of what the wetlands look like. And we sort of made it a version of a Ken Burns, which I admire, the guy's filming technique. So it was really in-depth where people could see the landscape in video form, driving tours, and everything else.
Well, that's very cool. Very cool.
If you can't get out in the wild, the second best is video. So it's a great way to connect people with wetlands and give folks beautiful photography and wonderful things to think. Wetlands are gorgeous. They're gorgeous places.
Yeah. Thanks, Victor.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, appreciate the call. You can join in, too. Again, number 1-800-642-1234. I should have asked Victor for his site. I'll tell you what. Victor, if you're still listening, I bet you are. Post it up on our, enter it as a comment on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and then we'll have it in case people are interested in taking a look at it. They can do it that way. Well, summer's a travel season, and, you know, I think it's a great time to visit wetlands.
It's a wonderful time. Everything's waking up. The birds are back. Wildlife is getting more active. There's babies everywhere. And plants are coming up. It's a gorgeous time to be in a wetland.
Yeah. Do you have places that you'd like to recommend for visiting?
Well, you know, a couple of years ago, we put out a list of 100 high-quality wetlands throughout the state of Wisconsin that we called Wetland Gems. And one of the reasons we did that was to connect people with important high-quality wetlands all around the state of Wisconsin. You know, a lot of us, you know, Horicon Marsh, fabulous marsh, wonderful place. It's big. A lot of people are aware of it. And it's the picture that people have in their minds about what a wetland is, because it's got cattails and it's got water birds and water, open water areas. That's one kind of wetland. But there are so many other kinds of wetlands, many of which don't have visible water. So you might not think they're wetlands, or they're dry during some parts of the year. And so this Wetland Gems list was partly an effort to say, hey, get out and see all these different kinds. Here are examples of all these different kinds: tamarack swamps, open bogs, cedar swamps, all kinds of different beautiful places where you can get out and visit them on the landscape right here in Wisconsin.
And, you know, you have, it's a great little publication, and you have a map.
We do, yeah.
That shows, you know, where in the state you can find, and pretty much all over.
Yep.
There's hardly, I mean, there's a few counties where you're not, where you don't have something listed, but then there are some counties where there are.
Right. Well, we did it deliberately so that we would have wetlands across the state. So we used sort of 8 bioregions in the state, because they have the landscape is different, or the climate is different, or the soils are different. So within each of those 8 regions, we found some high quality representative wetlands within that area. So that it was on purpose to get good coverage of the state.
Are some especially good for children places?
You know, there's one of the places I wanted to talk about was Mead Wildlife Area, because that's pretty central in the state, and they have a lot of trails and different wetland types and access and programming. So that's a great place to visit. And much of the information that we have on these, each of the 100 sites has its own fact sheet that provides a bunch of information, including where to find information about how to visit. And so that's, Mead Wildlife Area is one of those sites, and that's a great place for kids. Really, any place where you can get in and let the kids explore is a great place. I was just on a field trip earlier this week at the Aldo Leopold Nature Center here in Madison with my second grader in his class, and we had a great time scooping and finding insects in the pond, and it was really fun. Kids just love connecting with nature, and the more we can do that, it's the better for all of us.
And somebody's already asked, where's the Mead Wildlife Area?
Mead Wildlife Area is in Marathon, Portage, and Wood counties, right, sort of in that junction there. And I'll tell you, Larry, all of the fact sheets for these wetland gems are all available for free download from our website, wisconsinwetlands.org. There's a link right on the main page there for Wetland Gems. And then you can take a look at the map that you mentioned, and you can find a site that's nearby you and print out the fact sheet. So, for example, when my family's going on vacation and I know we're going to a certain part of Wisconsin, I pull out that map and say, oh, you know, on our way, we could stop at these 3 places. And mm-hmm. I print out those fact sheets and off we go. We used to have a book, but it's out of print, Larry. It was so popular, we sold them all out. So one day we hope to be able to republish that. But for now, all the same material that's in that book is available for free online.
You know, I had a couple of friends that were going on a week and a half or so trip to northern Wisconsin, and they said, what can we do in these, you know, some areas that, and so I went to the site.
Oh, that's
and
great.
Gave them some ideas about this, about the wetlands that they could visit, and they had a great time.
Super.
And really, really had fun doing it, too.
And I will say that many of those wetland gems are pretty hard to get to. Part of the reason that they're still in such great condition is that they don't have as much public access. But that said, there are a lot that do have good access, and that information will be on the fact sheet.
Here's a potential stumper for you. Cindy wonders, in Manitowoc, she asks if there are any places near her near Manitowoc that have carnivorous plants.
Oh, well, actually, Woodland Dunes Nature Center, yeah, and Point Beach and Dunes they are one wetland gem because they're, yeah, very close to each other.
Yeah.
And that might be a place to look that's in that neck of the woods anyway. Let me take a look at our map here and see if I can figure out another one. Cedarburg Bog, which is a little further south, would be a great place to go,
yeah,
and see some of those carnivorous plants. Though typically those carnivorous plants prefer a sort of bog type habitat, and that is a more rare habitat. further south in Wisconsin. Cedarburg bog is a fairly a very rare example of that in southern Wisconsin.
So there you go, Cindy.
Head north.
Thanks a lot for that question. And you can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Wisconsin has five, what are they called, Ramsar wetlands?
Yes, very good. Well, Ramsar is an international convention, not associated with the UN or anything like that. It's an independent international convention. And they designate sites all over the globe called Wetlands of International Importance. Ramsar is just the name of the place where they had the first convention, sort of like the Geneva Convention. Ramsar was the name of the city where they did that. So that's where that name comes from. But Wisconsin is the only state in the United States with more Ramsar sites is California, and they have six. We have five. So we're working hard to catch up and beat that. Our five are Horicon Marsh, the Upper Mississippi Floodplain Marshes, Caucagan and Bad River Sloughs, which is a site owned by the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa up on Lake Superior, really important wild rice area. A group of sites in Door County called the Door Peninsula Coastal Wetlands. And the most recently designated site is Chewaukee Prairie down at our southern, southeastern border. It's a cross-border site, partly in Wisconsin and partly in Illinois.
Oh, I don't know that one.
It's a great place. It's great because it's the last best thing. It's had a hard road because it was platted for development and there's some houses and once upon a time, there were street signs in the middle of the prairie and like sidewalks and things because they'd started development. And then conservationists were able to come in and protect it. But it's the last best thing of what we've got.
Oh, very, very cool. And where is it again?
It's near Kenosha, southeast corner of the state. Yeah. It's a wetland gem as well, so that you can find information
find
there.
But
Ramsar, there's only something like 39 sites in the entire United States, and five of them are here in Wisconsin.
Oh, that is really, really cool. Mark and Beaver Dam. Hi, Mark. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. Great show today.
Thank you.
Oftentimes we're up in Marinette County and we go foraging through the woods looking for ramps and morels and different edible things. And it seems like we're in wetland areas. You get some low-lying stuff. I'm just wondering if you have any lists or recommendations of plants or different edible food that you'd find in wetlands.
That's a great question, and they are wonderful places to explore for those things. We don't have a list that I'm trying to think of who we might be able to send you to that would be able to help with that. One of the concerns, of course, is making sure that we're harvesting from these natural communities at a sustainable rate so that we're taking things for our enjoyment and nourishment without over-harvesting. But I'm sorry, I can't help you out with a list, but happy hunting.
There's there's a couple of books on edible plants of Wisconsin. If you put that in into a search engine, those books are going to come up. And I've interviewed the authors, and I'm blanking a little bit right now on that. It's been a while, but that would be helpful for sure. Marco in Iron Mountain, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi. My question is, you said that your organization started off lobbying the government, kind of making sure that bridges and roads were being built sustainably through wetlands. And I'm just curious as to what you guys did to kind of lobby the government.
A lot of it is working with the developers and the regulators who, at the point of a project being proposed, to make sure that the right science goes into that decision-making. Okay, we need to build a road through here. Do we really? Where's the data that shows that we really need to have this road bigger? Where else might we put the road? How else could we design the road so that it didn't fill the wetland but perhaps was bridged over it? I should also point out that this is not my job at the organization, and so I'm speaking from familiarity working with my colleagues who are the experts in this area. But basically trying to insert ourselves into the planning process for specific projects, but also for legislative proposals and other administrative rules that impact wetlands to make sure the best science gets applied and that people are thinking about wetlands when these decisions are being made. So we're trying to give wetlands a voice in decision-making.
Yeah, there we go. Thanks, Marco.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Larry in Keewaskum, we'll get to you in just a second. Just a reminder, Katie Belfis, our guest today, we're talking with her about our wetlands. She is Outreach Programs Director of the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. I'm Larry Mueller, Jill Nadeau, our on-air producer, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, though, we're taking a look at our Wisconsin wetlands with Katie Belfis from the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. And join in, 1-800-642-1234, the number to call with your questions or comments or maybe experiences to share. Love to hear those as well. Larry in Kewaskum, thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I moved up here about 11 years ago, and I was able to basically walk across the Milwaukee River where I live. And now it's about 30 yards wide and all the wetlands. I've never seen water table up here this high. But about a month ago or 2 months ago, didn't Governor Walker declare an emergency for dryness someplace in the state of Wisconsin? Plus, we have the fires in Canada because of dryness. Is the water table higher than it or what? Am I just...
No, you're not imagining it. I know Lake Michigan water levels
Lake
up
Michigan
a foot.
The water levels in the Great Lakes are up quite a bit from what they have been in the recent decade, and that's a very natural cycle. It comes and goes, and it does have a big impact, especially on coastal wetlands. Dryness and wetness are very specific to area. So certain areas in Wisconsin might be facing drought because they didn't get the same storms that other areas that have a lot of water did. So, it's very variable, and we'll just take what comes.
absolutely. Thanks, Larry. Annie in La Crosse, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Annie.
Hi. We have the wonderful La Crosse River Marsh. It's right down from where I live. And there's always people who want to fill it in and put a road through it. And they talk about wetland mitigation. And I just wonder if you know, does wetland mitigation work? How far away can they try to mitigate the land they take away? And do you know about the La Crosse River Marsh?
I do know about the La Crosse River Marsh. We had our Wetland Science Conference in La Crosse a couple of years ago, and that was one of the field trips that we had there. And we've been working a little bit behind the scenes with a local group there, exploring options for these continuing proposals to expand roads and railroads through the La Crosse River Marsh, just because it seems to be the thing between where people want to go. So there's a lot of good people, as you probably know, Annie,
right,
working out there, and we've been involved in that effort. So wetland mitigation sounds like a really great thing, and I'm so glad that you asked this question because I hear it a lot. The premise is if you fill a wetland in one place, you can just build another one somewhere else, and so you end up with a net zero sort of calculation. The challenge, which you pointed out, Annie, is that it doesn't always replace what you lose. Like, in general, mitigation needs to be a last-ditch measure when other options are not possible. It's better than nothing, but you don't replace the same wetland because it's not in the same physical space and it doesn't provide the same services that it might have in terms of flood control or clean water or whatnot. And the art of wetland restoration is also fairly new. We've come a long way with that, but we're still learning how to recreate what it took 10,000 years for Mother Nature to develop. It's important, and it needs to be done strategically, and it needs to be well thought out, but it's the last option. It should be the
last
option.
Can I just say one more thing? The La Crosse River Marsh right now is really full, and it's wonderful. Where do they think this water is going to go? A lot of the marsh has already been filled in, and it seems like every year, inches by inches and feet by feet, it gets filled in for the railroad and for other businesses who say they own this part of the marsh. Where do they think the water is going to go?
I couldn't agree with you more, and unfortunately, I don't have a question for you, but an answer. It's a big part of our history. We've drained a lot of agricultural land. We've drained a lot of land for agriculture that was formerly wetlands. All of that water still needs to go somewhere. Anytime we change something, anytime we add impervious surfaces, that water that used to drain into the land there and now can't because of the cement, that has to go somewhere. So recognizing that is a super important thing and part of the work that we do trying to help communities realize that.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And again, you can join in with your questions, comments, or maybe experiences to share. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Give a call or email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And, you know, that's a public wetland, but is it not?
I believe I actually shouldn't say because I don't know what the ownership is, as she alluded to the fact that it had was in multiple ownership. So we'll have to get someone to call in to give us that information. I don't know. But it brings up an interesting point, and it leads to some of the work that my colleagues are doing in our organization, which is working with local communities to say, are you dealing with a flooding situation? Let's look at your watershed. Let's look up the tributaries of the river or other water body that's flooding, and let's figure out where we could strategically restore some wetlands in that upper watershed area to capture some of that water and let it out more slowly. The problem is we have these big storm events or the snowmelt in the spring, and a ton of water comes down our systems. And if we can restore wetlands in those upper watersheds to capture and slow down that process, it helps the downstream. So let's work with communities to say, what are your challenges and how could we bring wetlands in as a solution to those?
We have Lee in Green Bay next with a question. Hi, Lee. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi. In the northern edge of Brown County, I'm thinking that there's a developer that has developed lots and they're building homes on wetlands. Because I knew what that property was like. Who would be the best person to call direct with the DNR to see about, you know,
potential violation?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I'm going to defer you to my colleagues for that, who know exactly the best process to do. My tendency is to say your water management specialist with the DNR, but I might be wrong there. So if you have a specific situation that you can call into our office and talk with someone there who can give you that advice, that's just not my area of expertise. Mm-hmm. But it's actually very interesting. I spent a bunch of time yesterday looking at aerial photos of exactly that part of the state, because we have a wetland landowner workshop there this weekend. Looking at the amount of development that's happened in northern Brown County along the west shore of Green Bay, it's phenomenal what's happened in just the last 15 years. And all of that was wetlands historically. A huge extent of Lake Michigan's wetlands were on that west shore.
This would be near the new zoo. This is just a little bit north of where it is.
Okay.
And what's your number to...
Oh, it's 608-250-9971. And let me just say, it's people like Lee with eyes on the ground making sure that somebody's paying attention is a very, very important process of making sure that our wetlands and other natural communities and our rules and regulations are being followed properly because, they're...
Would you repeat that, please, that number?
608-250-9971.
Okay, I got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And as you say, it's... really, people like Lee who can be a big help.
Be the eyes on the ground and help to make sure things are happening in their community, both preventing bad things but also promoting good things, encouraging your community to make sure that their development plan is taking into consideration the hydrology of the watershed so that you don't create problems unintentionally by building where you shouldn't.
You mentioned an event. Go back to that.
We have a wetland landowner workshop on Saturday this week. It's part of a series that we've done as part of our My Healthy Wetland landowner program. So we invite folks who have told us they own wetlands and they'd like to learn more about how to care for them. And we walk them through a bunch of different steps of ways to understand how water moves on their wetland, what's working well, what's not so great that needs some help, how to control invasive species. So that'll be happening at Barkhausen Waterfowl Preserve in Suamico on Saturday. If you're interested in attending, if you'd give us a call, because we didn't need to know numbers for the event. It's not a sort of wide open door, but you can give us a call and we can give you all the details. And we'll have another one of those events coming up in Two Rivers on June 4th. So similarly, if you're in the Manitowoc area and you'd like to know more about that, we'd be happy to have you give us a call and we'll go for that. Larry, if I might mention one other event that we're doing that might be of interest to people, over Memorial Day weekend is the Door County Festival of Nature, which is a fabulous opportunity to get out and see all kinds of natural areas in Door County. But Wisconsin Wetlands Association, as a co-host of that festival, has teamed up with some of our partners there to offer a special series of field trips about wetlands. So there's 10 different wetland-specific field trips where we can help you learn a lot more about wetlands. And I learned yesterday there's still room in some of those trips, even though some of them are sold out. So the Ridges Sanctuary is the group that hosts that primarily, and the Door County Festival of Nature.
And the Ridges is a beautiful place to visit.
Oh, gorgeous. And talk about accessible for children. That's another great one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have some callers coming online here. Again, you can join in at 1-800 642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. That number again, 608-250-9971. And we also have a link on our Facebook page. So if you just if you don't get it down, you don't have a pencil handy or a pen, just go to The Larry Mueller Show, next chance you get, and you'll get find out how to make contact with the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. Dennis and Ripon, it's your turn. Thank you for calling.
Hi. The gentleman that called about the wetland in Brown County, I believe the water specialist out of there, the Green Bay office, is Kelly O'Connor.
That sounds right.
I don't have the phone number in front of me here, but she is the one who handles that.
Okay, so, I mean, it's nice to have a name. Thank you so much, Dennis, for,
right.
for yeah, appreciate it very much. So, yeah, Kelly O'Connor, the name that our previous caller would like, if should probably ask for when he makes that call. What do you think? Is it just this encroachment, the constant encroachment? Is that the biggest threat to our wetlands? I mean, just people wanting to chip away?
Well, there, yeah, there's just sort of direct fill of sort of, you know, around the edges or saying that a low-quality wetland, because it has invasive species in it, it, you know, doesn't matter because it's, you know, if it's got weeds in it, then it doesn't matter. We should just fill it in anyway. But it's, again, providing services, even full of weeds, it's providing services that we would lack completely. And so it's the direct filling of wetlands, but also really importantly is what's happening in the watershed around the wetlands too, because the idea that the wetland just has a line around it and you can protect what's inside and it's good and you can develop what's outside is bad. You just have to be strategic and think about what your needs are. Certainly we're going to have development. We're not anti-development by any stretch of the imagination, but let's be smart.
Yeah, there we go. Ray and Rhinelander, thanks a lot for calling. What can we do for you?
Have any of you heard of the Navarino State Marsh Wildlife Area? It's east of Clintonville. When I was growing up, it was known as the Mosquito Swamp. And they wanted to fill in a lot of that at one time, but of course, as you stated earlier, 1969, wetlands protection has come in. And also south of that is what's called the Wolf River Lowland Bottoms Area. And taking a canoe through that whole area and seeing that it's just a different type of topography. Do you know about that area at all? Any of you?
Yeah, I certainly recognize the names of both of those places, and I will say that the Wolf River is one of our wetland gems, so we have recognized that as a fabulous place as well. And just because Navarino is not on that wetland gems list doesn't mean it's not a perfectly spectacular place to go. So check it out.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Ray, for calling. Appreciate it. Ann in Green Bay has a comment for us. Hi, Ann.
Yes, I'm just calling about the wetlands in Brown County, and I know the man said the realtor was just, you know, filling those in, but I don't think realtors can just go do that. I'm sure they have to get permits from the city, so the people that he should be contacting, and all of us should be contacting, is our city people and finding, you know, the aldermen and the mayors and whatnots and finding out why they are permitting those wetlands to be built on, because they can't just go in there. They have to have permits to build and permits to put pipes and sewers and all that stuff in, so that's really where he should be starting.
And that's a great point, and I agree with you. That's the first place to start. Sometimes we have experienced where the local governments may or may not be aware of what the state or federal rules or limitations might be. So the local jurisdiction might provide the permits because the landowner has or the developer has satisfied their rules. And they may or not may not remember to say, oh, by the way, you should also check with the DNR or with the Army Corps of Engineers. So sometimes there's a breakdown in communication where a local permit might be issued, but there was a different state or federal permit that also needed to come that may or may not have happened. So definitely starting local is important, but there's multiple jurisdictions involved.
I know, but the pressure you need to put on is at the very local.
That's- I totally agree with you. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks, Ann. Bob emailed to say the Vanderblumen Bog west of Pigeon Lake has carnivorous plants. We're going back to the carnivorous plants. Silver Lake College administrates the area, and Silver Lake College could give you directions and permission to go there. So there's another.
Thanks for that, Bob.
Thanks. Yes, thanks very much for that comment. The I wondered how the annual wetland conference went.
We had a great conference. We were up in Green Bay this year, and we talked a lot about wetland restoration happening in the Green Bay area because there's a ton of stuff happening up there. So we had 362 people and two full days of really great conversations about what we are doing well, what we need to do better. And I'll tell you, Robin Wall Kimmerer, if folks want an inspiring book to read, Braiding Sweetgrass. She was the banquet speaker at our conference this year, and she was fabulous, probably the highlight of the conference for a lot of our attendees. So get her on the show, Larry, because I think she'd really be enjoyed by your audience. Great book.
Braiding Sweetgrass.
Mm-hmm. And she did her graduate work here in Wisconsin and does a lot of work up in the Green Bay area. So
I think we talked about her when you were on before. It's in the back of my head here thinking, why do I know that?
She was on with us.
She came on,
but she only had about 10 minutes because she had to go teach a class.
So she was just on for a few minutes. So it'd be fun to get her
really
back.
Fun.
Yeah.
Great.
Jill's probably listening and has got that written down already. Oh, yeah, she's nodding. Of course I have. What do you think? Oh, my goodness. Well, here I was going to ask you something else, and it's completely... I know. The point I wanted to make is a point that you often make, and that has to do with the ownership of wetlands. Who owns the wetlands? And the wetlands primarily are under private ownership here in the state.
Yeah, well, thanks for bringing that up, Larry. So Wisconsin has lost about half of the original, if you think about what we originally had, before about 200 years ago, we've lost about half of that. And of the remaining wetlands that are still on the landscape, 75% are privately owned. So DNR owns a bunch, that's great. Forest Service owns a bunch, that's great. But truly, private landowners are where wetland conservation needs to happen in this state. As much as 85% of the wetlands that could be restored, that is wetlands that we have lost but are potentially restorable, as much as 85% of that is privately owned. So our opportunities are really with private landowners, which is why our organization is doing more work with that group of people. We have a handbook called My Healthy Wetland that's available to anybody who wants to learn more about how to recognize wetlands on their landscape, how to know if they're healthy, what the actions you can take to improve their health. And we're happy to sell that to you.
Well, and you can just order that online, I assume.
You can order that online or give our office a call either way. Yep.
And As we kind of finish up here today, let's spend a minute or two talking about what you and I can do to protect our wetlands.
Sure. Well, we've had a bunch of callers today that have done a great job of giving us that information, so this is a summary of their good ideas. Well, look for wetlands in your community. Get out, enjoy them, understand where they are and what they do for your community. Have a voice in your community planning and decision-making when you see things good or promoting things that you'd like to see, and also speaking up when you see things that you think are a bad idea. Those are great things. Get your kids and your families involved. Spend time out in wetlands, because the more we know and fall in love with a resource, the more likely we are to stand up for it, is what all the data show, and it's certainly what our heart tells us. So,
yeah, absolutely. Now, I asked you earlier if you had a favorite one, and you...
I rolled my eyes at you, Larry, because it's like choosing your favorite child. You're not allowed to do that. So, but there are some special places in Wisconsin that I dearly love. Door County has tons of great wetlands. The Mississippi River is fabulous. Lower Wisconsin River has some great wetlands. Pretty much anywhere you go in Wisconsin, you're going to be able to find something great to take. And it's going to be different. It's going to be a totally different experience than what you might have in a different part of the state.
Well, it's always fun to talk with you, Katie. And you got these events coming up. I'll run through those once more.
Sure. This weekend we have a landowner workshop in Suamico. Give us a call if you're interested in that. On June 4th, we have another one in Two Rivers at the Woodland Dunes Nature Center. And then over Memorial Day weekend is the Festival of Nature, at which Wisconsin Wetlands is happy to be leading a couple of field trips. So if you're interested in any of those things, you can call our office 608-250-9971.
608-250-9971. Katie, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's always fun.
Always great to have her with us. She'll be back again, and we will talk with her again about our Wisconsin wetlands. Appreciate having her.
Thank you.